Good morning.
Good morning.
My grandpa Tom was a really hard-working man.
He was a farmer, and then he worked maintenance at Azusa Pacific for a long time. He always showed up early for church on Sundays to help set up, and he stayed late to help tear down. He knew how to fix everything, and he came to the rescue of anyone whose car ever broke down or anyone who ever needed anything to be fixed. At his memorial service, a friend got up and said, "If anyone here was helped by Tom Wallace, please stand." And the whole room stood up. When I was little, my grandma and grandpa went to visit my great aunt Mary. And in the middle of the night, my grandpa woke up to the smell of smoke. So he got my grandma and my aunt Mary and the dogs out of the house. And then he took a garden hose and went back in the house and fought the fire till the firefighters got there, and he saved the house. My grandma Ginger had a heart for all those who were far from home and family. Her house was always filled with people, mostly exchange students who couldn't go back home on break from college, so they would celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter with my family. My family would tell stories about how my grandma always made room for one more at her table. And when there weren't enough chairs, she would go get the office chair and the piano bench and make sure everyone had a place to sit. Even at my most recent family reunion, some family friends reminded us all that my grandma and grandpa stood in for the groom's family at their wedding 40 years earlier because his parents had passed. And they had always made this couple feel like part of the Wallace family, so every year they come to the Wallace family reunion. These were the kinds of stories I heard growing up. Stories about my grandpa Tom and my grandma, always wanting to help, always pulling up another seat or piano bench at the table. These stories were told and retold and became a part of the fabric of our family. When we would get together, or when new people would marry in, or young ones would be born, we would tell these stories and more about my grandparents and my great-grandparents and aunts and uncles. And together, these stories became our story, our common story, the story of the Wallace family. They gave us a shared identity and history. They showed what we valued and how we showed love. And I remember as a kid, if I was facing a difficult situation, my dad would retell the story of my grandpa fighting the fire. And he would say, "Buggo," right, that's my family name, Buggo. He would say, "Buggo, you can do hard things. You're a Wallace." Or when I experienced just how mean junior high girls could be, he would tell the story of my grandma pulling up another chair at the table, and he'd say, "You know, Buggo, it hurts because it's just not who you are. There's always room for one more in your group." These little stories about my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my aunts and uncles, they helped me growing up because they showed me who I am, because I was part of a bigger story. I was part of the Wallace family, and this was our common story. Today, we start our new sermon series called The Story of Us, where we're going to journey through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at these stories, the stories in Ephesians, that tell us about who we are. As many of you know, the Apostle Paul originally wrote this book as a letter to the churches in Ephesus. And in this letter, it is pastoral, it is loving, it's filled with encouragement and reminders of who this church is. It's filled with foundational lessons about who we are called to be as the people of God in a complicated world. My hope is that this series will not only teach us about the church at Ephesus and what we can learn, but it will also serve as a reminder of who we are in this complicated season that we are in. In the coming weeks, we will go chapter by chapter and unpack these various aspects of the story of us, the story of the people of God. But today, we will start where the Apostle Paul starts, with our shared identity, our common story. So if you are willing and able, would you stand for the reading of God's word from Ephesians chapter 1? Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the intro of the letter there. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul knew the power of a common story. After all, he grew up hearing these epic stories. Paul was a Jewish, born and raised and educated in Jewish history and scripture and theology. And the Jewish people are people of stories. So many of them that are here in the Old Testament. The Jewish people would tell and retell the story of Abraham and Sarah, too old to have children, yet God promised they would become a nation. They would tell the story of Joseph being sold into slavery by his family, only to become the king's right-hand man and save his family from starvation. They would tell the story of Moses and Miriam and Aaron, the siblings who led God's people out of slavery in Egypt. The story of the prophet Huldah bringing the word of God to the people who'd forgotten it, and the shepherd boy David who slayed a giant. The story of Esther, the orphan turned queen who saved her people. These are the stories that together create the common story of the Jewish people, the people of God. They give them history, a shared ancestry, show their values, the values of covenant and marriage and mercy and freedom and heroism. And these stories together remind them of their relationship with God. God has always been faithful. God saves. God wants them to be set apart. And they learn this from God, who obviously knows the power of a common story. And throughout these stories, you see God coming to the people and saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. I am the Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Remember this story, God seems to say. I'm not just a God, I am your God. You're my people. Common stories create identity and unite people across difference and generations. And the Apostle Paul, the author of Ephesians, knew the power of a common story. And he gave one to the church at Ephesus in the beginning of his letter because he knew they desperately needed one. Ephesus was a big center for trade and commerce. People came from all over the world to do business in Ephesus. It was a leading intellectual and political center in the Roman world, a wealthy city. It boasted one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis. This was a diverse place where different cultures and languages and people came together. And as is common with people, where there's difference, there's often tension. And the churches in Ephesus were no exception to that rule. We see here in Ephesians and also in the book of Acts that Jewish believers and Gentile believers in Jesus were worshiping together in the churches in Ephesus. And Jews and Gentiles had different cultural and religious backgrounds. And evidently this led to some tension. And some Jewish believers in Jesus were teaching that they held a higher status in the kingdom of God in this new church, because after all, they were God's chosen people, chosen from the beginning, and Jesus was their Jewish Messiah. But Paul had a heart for the Gentiles. He knew that there was no hierarchy among God's people, and so he made a concerted effort in this new church to find a place for the Gentiles at the same level as all those who were Jewish who believed in Jesus. And here in the first part of his letter to the Ephesians, we see the foundation of his whole strategy. Paul wants to bring unity where there's division. He wants to bring commonality where there's difference. And so he starts here. According to theologian Craig Keener, in this passage this morning, there are 11 different terms that are used for Israel throughout the Old Testament that are used here to describe believers in Jesus. We'll go through a few of them. The first is blessed. In Genesis, God tells Abraham and Sarah that they will be the start of a new people, a people blessed to be a blessing to the whole world. And here in verse 3, Paul calls believers in Jesus blessed in Christ. Because of Jesus, the common story of the people of Israel is everyone's common story. Chosen. In Deuteronomy 7, God calls Israel a chosen people. And here in verse 4, Paul calls people who believe in Jesus chosen. Because of Jesus, Israel's common story is now every believer's common story. Predestined. In Deuteronomy 7 and throughout Isaiah, we see God's foreknowledge and election and sovereign purposes in choosing Israel. And in verse 5, Paul combines these ideas into a Greek word we translate as predestined to describe believers in Jesus. Israel's common story is every believer's common story. Throughout the Old Testament, God also calls the people of Israel God's children. And specifically as a nation, God calls Israel God's son. And here in verse 5, Paul says, in love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus. Israel's common story is now every believer's common story. A little interesting note about the phrasing in this one before we move on. In our day and culture, we would probably say that God adopts us as sons and daughters. Because in our culture, both sons and daughters carry the same weight as each other, the same status. They're both equally loved by parents, and both sons and daughters, if there's an inheritance to give, are recipients of that inheritance. But in the ancient world, that was not true. It was not common for daughters to be a part of any inheritance that was given by the father. And so daughters were not included. And here, if Paul had said we are adopted as sons and daughters, it could be interpreted to mean that there are different levels of inheritance given to believers in Jesus, which is the exact opposite of the whole point he's making. So here, Paul calls all believers in Jesus sons, not to confuse gender, but to say that now all believers, men and women, Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, all of us have the status of son in the ancient world when it comes to God's inheritance. There are not two statuses of inheritance, as some religions, including Mormonism, teach. But for Christians, for those found in Christ, all believers have the same status in God's kingdom for the rights of inheritance of eternal life. So in the Old Testament, Israel's called God's son, and here Paul calls believers in Jesus God's son. Israel's common story is now every believer's common story. Fifth, this says that we are for God's glory. In Isaiah and Jeremiah, God tells Israel that they are a part of the story. They are the part of the story for God's glory. And here, the Apostle Paul says the same thing of believers. We are adopted in order to bring God glory. Israel's story is our common story. Redeemed by blood, in the Old Testament, God redeemed or saved the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb on their door. And here, Paul points out that those found in Jesus are redeemed by God through Jesus' blood. Saved by blood. Because of Jesus, Israel's common story is everyone's common story. The same thing is saying about being forgiven by God and God's plan being revealed to the people. God's salvation. After their exodus from Egypt, the people of Israel would often say that God was their salvation, the one who saved them. But that's often the word we use, isn't it? Here in verse 13, Paul says that Jesus is everyone's salvation. So because of Jesus, Israel's story is every believer's story. The last two, believers of the promise, Israel were the people who believed in God's promises, while others looked to idols. And here, the Apostle Paul says that in verse 13, we who are found in Jesus, we believed in Jesus, and Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises. And lastly, given an inheritance. When God redeemed the people from slavery in Egypt, he led them into their inheritance, into the promised land. And now all believers who are redeemed through Jesus are waiting to be led into our inheritance, the new promised land, eternal life with God. Because of Jesus, Israel's common story is now every believer's common story in as many as 11 different ways in 9 verses. See, Paul sees the complexity of church life, especially in Ephesians, with mixing cultures and values and religious practices all coming together. He sees the hierarchy that some are trying to put on the church. Some saying that some are a little bit more in to the people of God and some are on the outs. And while Paul will go on in all the following chapters of Ephesians, of all the different ways that these folks are supposed to focus on their identity in God, and we'll get to those, here he starts the whole thing with the foundation, the common story that all believers in Ephesus share, so that no one could boast over the other, so that there was no hierarchy or division, so that new believers and old could see that they all have the same common story. They're all a part of the people of God. Because Israel wasn't God's plan A and the church God's plan B. Because it was God's plan from the very beginning to bless the entire world through the Messiah that would come from Israel. Jesus was not God's plan B or second choice. As Pastor Caitlin said last week, Jesus was always God's plan A. And as N.T. Wright points out, Paul is not pitting Christian theology against Jewish theology here. This is a continuation of God's plan that was started in the beginning. The same story of the Old Testament continued throughout the New. Because of Jesus, Israel's common story is every believer's common story today. And this is what the core of what theologians call covenant theology. Here at Glenkirk, we are part of the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians. So covenant theology is really important to us. And it's basically this. Scripture tells one story of one people of God, not two. God didn't start over in the New Testament replacing Israel with the church. God has one people throughout redemptive history. God has one saving purpose for them, to redeem sinners from every tribe, nation, and tongue and race through the blood of Jesus Christ. This started from the very beginning. And throughout the scripture, we see God working out this plan through different covenants with the people. The grand unity of scripture that all points to Jesus. Because of Jesus, all God's people share a common story. No matter when you joined the people or what your background is, no matter your heritage or what you believe or believed before or the language you speak, because of Jesus, all God's people share a common story. This is the foundation of our identity. Paul laid this foundation in the first part of Ephesians, and he will build the rest of the Ephesian church's identity upon it. This is the foundation of their story, and it's the foundation of ours. Because this story, this common story of the people of God, is not just a history lesson, it's an invitation. It's an invitation for us to step in to who we are as a people, as God's people. Like my family stories helped shape my identity growing up as a Wallace, the stories of God's people are meant to help shape us, the believers who follow Jesus, so that in every season, difficult and joyful, we can retell the stories of God, how God protected Daniel in the lion's den, and how God fed the people with manna from heaven, of God fulfilling the promises of the coming Messiah through Jesus. The stories of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and restoring someone's sight with mud and prayer. In our difficult times, because we are the people of God, we can tell and retell the stories of how God is faithful to the people. So that when we're going through hard things, we can look at that and say, I can do hard things. I'm a part of the people of God. I can make it through this. My God is faithful and will be there. For we are believers too. And because of Jesus, we share in the common story of the people of God. And I believe this applies to every believer individually and to us as a church body. This morning, we really take a big step in our new chapter as Glenkirk Church. It's the first Sunday of 2025, and we have just said goodbye to a pastor we love. We're in a season of transition. And transition can bring with it a disorienting feeling. It can be difficult. It can even be ripe for gossip and division. But the story we share binds us together across difference and cultures and generations. And just like the believers in Ephesus, I think we need this reminder today. In a world that's divided by politics and race and opinion, we are called to be united by something greater, our identity in Christ. So let's be a church that lives out that story, showing the world that there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Let's embody this common story in how we love one another, in how we relate to one another across difference and in times of tension. So as we leave here today, let's live as a people who know the story that we are a part of. Let's tell this story to one another and to our children and to people who don't know it yet. For since the beginning of time, God has walked with God's people through every season, and we know that God is walking with us through this one. For this is the story of the people of God. This is our common story. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you have chosen your people since the beginning of time. You have fulfilled your plan through Jesus, and now you call us to you. We are so grateful to be a part of your people, the people of God, around the world and throughout time. God, remind us of our identity in you. Remind us of our shared identity, the commonalities we share with everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. God, remind us that we are above all your people, and that that means something. That no matter the times we are in, the times of stability or transition, we know that you will be faithful to us. For you are always faithful. You always have been, and you always will be. Gracious God, we thank you, and we love you. And we pray that you make your presence known here to us this morning and throughout our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.